Thank you, ladies. What a blessing that is, and what a great, great song written many years ago. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We'll go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and in just a moment, I want to read just the first five verses together. And tonight, I want to preach on this subject, the will of God. What is God's perfect will for you and me? Does God have such a thing as the will of God? And is it possible for you and me to know the will of God in our life? God wants us to know His will. He wants us to do His will. Let me ask you this question. At this moment, are you in the will of God? You say, well, of course, Pastor, I'm in church and I'm where I need to be. Well, it's more than that. I believe it's more than just being in the house of God. But are we in the will of God for our lives? We come to 1 Peter chapter 4, and let us begin, if you would please, in verse number 1, and we will read down to verse number 5. The Bible says, "Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Would you underline that phrase, the will of God? Verse number 3. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." Now I want you to notice back in verse number 2, the last part of that verse where it says, "the will of God." I remember when I first came to know Christ as my Savior, that I remember the pastor would talk about the will of God for your life. And if we're not careful, we can think of the will of God as something so far out there that we're going to do it one day and we're just waiting to do the will of God. But may I say to you is that the will of God is day by day. The will of God is not something futuristic. The will of God is today. What does God have for you to do today? What is His will for your life? Now, I commend you tonight. You're at the house of the Lord, and that is God's will for our life. To be in church, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. God wants us to be in the house of God. That is a part of the will of God. But the will of God is what He has created us to do with our lives. By the way, let me say this to you. There is no failure in the will of God. None whatsoever. We may think, for instance, we've heard stories about many missionaries that have gone to the mission field. And Adoniram Judson, it was 7 years before he saw his first convert come to know Christ as his Savior. So can I ask you something? Was 6 years not in the will of God? No, they were. Because there is no failure in the will of God. But there is failure outside of the will of God for your life. In fact, how many has ever heard the phrase, the prime of life? Have you ever heard that before? All right. I don't know what you think the prime of life is. I've heard that the prime of life or life begins at 40. I've heard life begins at 50. Life begins at 60. I've even heard life begins at 70. All right. When is the prime of life? All right. Well, I'll tell you when the prime of life is. The prime of life is any time that you are in the center of God's will. That's the prime of life. The great blessing of life is to know why God created you and that you are fulfilling God's purpose for your life. That is what is the great prime of life. Number one tonight, I want to give you a few simple thoughts. I pray that God will help us to understand the will of God. Number one, the plan of God for every life. Now, is it hard to believe that God has a plan for each and every one of us? You were not created By the way, no birth is an accident. Life does begin at conception. I think one of our politicians just recently said that life does not begin at conception, but they are wrong because the Bible teaches that life begins at conception. We understand that's true from God's Word. But may I say to you that God created you with a specific purpose in life. You are created with a God-given plan. Now, whether we follow the plan of God or not is left up to our surrender to the Lord. But God has created us with a plan. He has a plan for your life, and He has a plan for my life. And by the way, I find that very few people are really interested in the will of God today. I mean, really interested. What does God want me to do with my life? Sometimes we can have our plans, our dreams, our goals, our ambitions, but one thing settles it all, and that is the will of God. My pastor growing up used to say this. He said, "The will of God settles everything." You know, that's really a great quote, because the truth is, God's will settles everything about our lives. The plan of God for every life. You see, from the dust of the earth, God made us. And God created us by His very hand in His own image with a specific purpose in life. You know something, every one of us here tonight, there is something that God wants you to do with your life. Every single one of us. We have this Bible club at Mechanicsburg High School. It's amazing and a wonderful blessing to tell all of those teenagers there that God has a unique plan for their lives. None of us are insignificant to God. God has a specific plan for each and every one of our lives. Now, go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want to show you some things here I think that will help us. Now, we notice some things. Look in verse number 2. Notice what it says, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, you've underlined the will of God. That's very important. But go to verse number 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Now, there's a difference there. The will of God and the will of the Gentiles. What is the difference? Well, the will of God is simply, that's the new life in Christ. That is what God has created us for. I believe this, that God created each and every one of us for the sole purpose of bringing glory and honor to Him. And brethren, tonight, the will of God is that new life in Christ. But what is the will of the Gentiles? That is the old man. That is the will of the flesh. That is the desires of the flesh. There should come a definite time in your life and in my life when we die to the will of the Gentiles, the will of the flesh, and we surrender to the will of God. Have you asked the Lord this question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You remember when Saul on the road to Damascus, and he saw the great shining light, and Saul, who became Paul, put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You remember right after that, you know what he said? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's the will of God. We say, Lord, what is your will? What is your plan for my life? We find here a contrast between the will of God and the will of the Gentiles, the way of the old life. And folks, all of us have lived the old life at some point. We've lived according to our own flesh, our own desires, but we must live according to the will of God. So God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. For instance, I don't know that anybody would ever do this, but you know something, if you go on vacation or something, you just don't jump in the car and say, well, let's drive somewhere. All right? We're just going to end up someplace. No, you have a plan. Let's just think just for a minute about many things in life. Let's talk about when someone builds a house. You know something? They don't just say, well, hey, I don't know how big we're going to build it, but let's just get started. All right? No. Guess what they have to have? Blueprints. They have to have a plan. On this Sacrifice Sunday, we think about the Fellowship Hall and being able to build that building. But you know something? There was plans. There were blueprints that were drawn. months before the building ever started. And you know something? I remember going out there and often to watch the men and to observe them as they were building. Many times they would go back to the kind of a desk that they had built just out of wood out there. And the plans were right on there, the blueprints. And if you had a question, guess what you did? You went back to the blueprint. If you wondered how far something should be designed or how big or how small, you went back to the blueprint. And brethren, tonight, the will of God, God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And by the way, the Lord doesn't play hide and seek with you and me. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to love to play hide and seek, you know. And basically, I'm going to go hide and you try to find me, you know. And but God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, you know, I'm going to hide here. I'm going to hide my plan for your life. And if you look hard enough and long enough, I may show it to you. That's not how God operates. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. So we see, number one, the plan that God has for our lives. Number two, let's notice the price that God paid for the plan. And would you go back in your Bibles and 1 Peter chapter number 4, and I want to show you this. Verse number 1 says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." You know something tonight? We need to understand that the price that God paid for the plan is a significant price. Do you understand that Jesus Christ went to the cross and He suffered and bled and died so that you and me could be saved, but also that we could follow His plan for our lives? What a great price that the Lord has paid so that we can know His plan. And in fact, would it not be a tragic thing to die and to never know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know that every day we live, there are people that die all around us and they go to a Christless hell, a place of eternity separated from God forever? We would say that is a terrible thing, and it is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing not to have known the new life which is in Jesus Christ. How many remembers the old life away from Jesus Christ? How many remembers that old life? I'm going to tell you something. That old life is not worth living. That is a waste of life. And really, life begins when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. But you know something? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to never know the new life in Christ? Tonight, we ought to rejoice that Jesus paid for this new life. He went to the cross and He bled and died so that you and I could be a part of the family of God, but so that we could know the plan of God for our lives. There is no joy in life like the joy of being a child of God, but also the joy of serving Jesus Christ with your life. I mean, there's no greater joy. In fact, folks, tonight, the will of God for your life is the greatest thing about your life. It is the greatest thing. It is the most important thing about your life. Now, God doesn't call every one of us men to be pastors or preachers or evangelists. God doesn't call all of these ladies to be a pastor's wife or a missionary wife or a Christian school teacher. God doesn't call that for all of us. But I will say this to you. God does have a specific purpose and a plan for your life. We notice the price that Jesus paid for that plan. Think of it. Think of the price. You know, people go to great extents, do they not, for valuable things. I mean, great extents for that. For instance, we think, for instance, about a lady who buys a wedding dress and she's excited about that special day that she's going to get married. Boy, that's very valuable. It's very precious. And by the way, that lady would not use that wedding dress for anything other than that wedding day. Would you not think it strange if she decided to go horseback riding with her wedding dress? Or would you not think it strange that she went four-wheeling with her wedding dress or went deer hunting? Now, that might be pretty spiritual, but anyway, all right? But look, they wouldn't do that. Why? Because she paid a great price for that. There's a value to it. But that's not the greatest illustration, but let me say this to you. Our Heavenly Father paid a great price so that we could be a part of the family of God, but that we could know the will of God. to know His purpose and plan. In fact, it's a horrible thing for an unsaved person to reject Jesus Christ. I've been around men and women before and shared the gospel with them, and they have rejected Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that they could never be saved, but I've seen it. It's a terrible thing when they say, I don't want the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you what is far worse than an unsaved person rejecting Jesus Christ. I believe it is even worse for a child of God not to be obedient to the will of God. I really believe that. You know why? Because we are God's children. We have put our faith and trust in Him. And for us to say, I'm going to go according to my will, I'm going to do my plan for my life, is a far worse. Why? Because of the great price that God has paid for the plan. You see, all of us, the plan of God, there is a plan of God for your life. There's a plan of God for each and every one of us. But there is a great price that He has paid. But number three, I want you to notice the pathway to the plan. This is where I wanted to get to tonight. And let's go back to verse number one of 1 Peter chapter number 4. I want to show you this. How are we ever going to know the will of God and to do the will of God? Verse number one of 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time. By the way, what is the rest of your time? None of us know how long that is. None of us know tonight how long that we have to live. I pray you live to be 100 years old. And really, that's a short lifetime compared to eternity. But what about the rest of your time? Now, I want to stop and I want to say this to you. Some of you may think right now, well, Pastor, I've already missed God's plan for my life. You know something? Really, that is not true. I do believe that we can miss God's plan and His will for our life. But I do believe this, that God is the God of the second chance. He really is. God is the God of the third and the fourth and the fifth. I mean, God is the God who renews us. He strengthens us. He changes us. He brings us into line with His will. But you may say, I'm too old to do the will of God. For the rest of your time, you should seek to do the will of God for your life. The rest of your time. Let's read on here in verse number 2. It says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. What is the pathway to the plan of God? What puts us on the path? All right, if we would consider, just for a moment, all right, if we would consider this communion table that we have here, let's just say this is the will of God, all right? Now bear with me here. Well, guess what? There's a pathway to get here. There's a pathway. Now, I know we could walk down this aisle and we could walk down this aisle, but let's do away with those aisles. Let's do away with the windows and the doors, I understand. But let's understand that there is a pathway to the plan. There is only one pathway. And notice what the Bible says here. It says back in verse number 1, "Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Now listen to me closely. God says that we have an armor. We are to arm ourselves. And the armor is the pathway to God's plan. Unless we are thinking this way, we will never fulfill the will of God. Now what is this? We are to arm ourselves with the mind of Jesus Christ. Do you know something? That we don't think right on our own. Do you know that without the Bible and without the Word of God and without time and prayer, by the way, prayer is not getting God to come around to our way of thinking, it is us surrendering to the mind of God. And you know, without that, none of us would understand the will of God, nor would we want to do it. Let's take our Bibles. I'm going to show you a few verses. I pray that God can help us. Go to Romans chapter number 6, all right? Now, understand this. There is a pathway to the plan. If I'm trying to get to the will of God, if I'm saying I want to know God's will for my life, I want to fulfill it. God has created me for a specific purpose. Then how am I going to get to the plan? Well, there's a pathway. What is the pathway? It is knowing the mind of Jesus Christ. It is having the same mind. God says to arm yourselves with the same mind. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 11. Let's read a few verses here, and I pray that God can help us with this. The Bible says, Romans 6, 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, there's a word that we find twice, I believe, here in this passage. In verse number 13, the word yield. Now, let me say this. The word yield is a word that every Christian should have in his vocabulary. Yielding to God. Surrendering to God. Lord, what do you want for me to do? Lord, not this is my plan and this sounds good for me and this is what I think is best for me. This is what others have told me is best for me. No, the word is yield. Listen, unless we are yielding to God, unless we are surrendered, and by the way, unless you are yielded to do whatever God wants for you to do, you'll never know the will of God. For instance, we may say to ourselves, well, God, you tell me what your will is, and then I'll yield to it. It doesn't work that way. You know why? Because we don't get to decide. We don't get to choose. Okay, Lord, you tell me what it is, and then I'll think whether or not it's good enough to yield to it or not. God wants us to come to the place where we surrender everything to Him. We die to self. As I preached on this morning, we become a follower of Jesus Christ. We say, Lord, I yield to whatever your will may be. We are to yield ourselves to God. Day by day, we are to yield. That is the path that leads us to God's plan for our life. By the way, let me put it this way, and I've used this illustration. But let's take today, all right? Today, I am to do God's will. Now, what is God's will for me today? Well, it's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. By the way, Sunday is not the Lord's morning or the Lord's evening. It's the Lord's day. We should be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to the house of God. Folks, can I say this to you? That is God's will for our life. That's a very simple plan for God's will. It's God's will for you to read the Bible every day. It's God's will for you to spend time in prayer every day. It is God's will for you to refrain from sin and to live a righteous, holy life day by day. Look, that is God's will. And day by day, we walk in His will. We obey Him. The next day, guess what? Tomorrow morning. All right? Can I tell you, the students, what God's will is for your life? Go to school tomorrow. All right? Isn't that great? Don't you love that? But it's God's will. I remember one day, one of my kids said something to me. I don't want to go to school. I don't like school. I said, look, that is God's will for your life now. It's not going to be that way forever, but it's God's will now in your life. We must yield to His will. What is it that God has for you to do that you know you are to do that you are not doing? By the way, do you know we think of today, Sacrifice Sunday, but folks, may I tell you that the tithe, the 10% of our gross income, that is God's will for your life. And when we are not yielding to any area of the will of God, we are not on the path that leads to God's plan. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's look at something here, all right? Through every disappointment in life and every circumstance, we are to yield to God. God wants us to yield to Him. Now, by the way, in order to yield to God, we must have spiritual sight. We must understand what His will may be. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's begin and verse number 17. I want you to notice something here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Folks, tonight, I want to say this to you, and I mean this with all my heart. The will of God begins by yielding our minds to Jesus Christ. Do you know what the devil wants tonight? He wants your mind. That's all that he wants. If the devil has your mind, you will never fulfill the will of God. Never. Never fulfill his will. By the way, that's why the devil is so crafty at what he is doing in our society today. By the way, do you know, and I want to say this to you, do you know that in our society today, pornography has become so predominant in our society today? Why do you think it is? I'll tell you one reason why I believe it is. It's because the devil wants our minds. You'll never follow Jesus Christ if God does not have your mind. You see, the Bible says that we should not walk in the vanity of our mind. The mind of saying, this is what I want to do. This is my will. This is what I think is best. But when we get into the Bible transforms our thinking. It transforms our minds. It helps us to think right about the will of God. Go back, if you would, please, to the book of Romans. I should have showed you this while we were over in Romans chapter 6, but let's go to Romans chapter number 12. Oh, this is so good about the mind. It begins by yielding our minds to Jesus Christ. And by the way, the devil begins in our lives not necessarily by building strongholds, but by establishing just a toehold. You know where the devil begins in your heart, my heart, in our minds? The devil makes us think something. He makes us think. This past week in our Christian school, of course, being the principal, there's a lot to do and a lot to keep up with. And I want you to pray for me. I need the Lord's help. I met with every high school student, 9th through 12th grade, at one point this week. And talked to them about their life, about their love for God. Do they read their Bible? Do they pray? And you know something? I'm so burdened for our young people. Burdened. Now, we've got good kids, all right? And I thank the Lord for each and every one of them. I pray for them. But can I tell you what the great battle that they deal with, it's in their mind. It's their mind. Some of them do not think right about God. They don't have the right idea about God. Do you know, in fact, many Christians think that God, if they give their life to Him, God will mess up their life. Why do they think that way? The devil put that thought there. The devil put that thought to think that if I give my life to God, man, He's going to make me miserable. I'm going to hate life and I'll be serving the Lord, but I'll be miserable. Where did that thought come from? The devil put it there. They don't think right about God, that God is good. He is just. He is righteous. He is holy. He is our good shepherd. He is our everlasting Father. God is more concerned about your life than you can ever be concerned about yourself. He wants you to do His will more than you could ever want to do your will or to do His will for your life. Our God loves us. He cares about us. And as I spent time with these young people, talking with them, can I tell you, I want them to do the will of God. I want them to fulfill the will of God for their life because I know that's where they'll find fulfillment. That's where they'll find joy. That's where they'll find satisfaction in life. And plus, they can do something eternal with their life. Do you know tonight that if you follow the will of the Gentiles, the will of the old man, then the vanity of your mind, that you will live your life and never have anything to show and to place at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Boy, wouldn't that be terrible? It'd be terrible to live your life and never fulfill the will of God. I would hate to stand before God one day and for the Lord to say, Aaron, I had a plan for you, but you would not yield to me. You would not surrender to me. Back in Romans chapter 12, look at this as we talk about this. The Bible says in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, where should we fight? We fight the devil in our minds. We fight the devil by feeding our hearts and minds with the precious Word of God. In closing, would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to show you this in closing. Oh, may the Lord help us. Our thought life must be yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, tonight, the Spirit of God will never allow peace in our hearts until we yield to His working. There is no peace without surrendering. There is no peace without yielding. As you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13 is a wonderful verse to me. Can I quote it to you? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's the will of God. Yesterday, as I was praying and spending some time alone with the Lord, I said, Lord, I know You're at work in my life. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, you know God's will. You're a pastor. You're God's will. But look here. It's not just some vocation. It's not, okay, I'm a Sunday school teacher, so that's the will of God. The will of God is day by day. The will of God begins in our minds. It begins as we yield and surrender to Him. But the will of God is not just something that we take care of once and for all. The will of God is daily yielding, daily surrendering, daily saying, God, break my will that I may know Thy will day by day. Oh, it is God which worketh in you both to will. He gives us that desire to even do His will, and then the divine enablement to do of His good pleasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to look at a couple of verses here. Verse number 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherein I think it to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Folks, that is where this is. It is our mind. Now remember something. Do you know that 1 Peter that we read together? 1 Peter is written to believers. It's not written to the unsaved man. It's written to the church. It's written to you and me. That we are either going to do the will of the flesh, the will of the Gentiles, or we are going to do the will of God. What will it be for you? Do you know, for the rest of our time, may we say, by God's grace, I will do the will of God. There's a pathway to that plan. You know, some people are never going to know the will of God for their life. They're never going to know it. You know why? Because their mind doesn't think that way. They don't think, what does God want me to do? What would God have me to do about this question in my life? What would God have me to do about this circumstance? Listen, we must arm ourselves. There is an armor that we put on, and in our minds we surrender to God. We begin to know His Word, and we think like He thinks, and we yield ourselves to God, the will of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.